Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Sure, appreciate the Lord. Colossians chapter number one. I'll give you a thought out of here today, and I sure appreciate the Lord. Amen. I appreciate Him meeting with us, and I appreciate the good singing this morning. I told the choir on Sunday night after choir practice, I said it's so important that we're right when we sing, because it sure does set the tone for the preaching of God's Word. Amen. And I appreciate the good singing this morning. And I don't know if you know this or not. I hope you do, but if you don't, let me enlighten you on this. We're pretty blessed at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and different ones played different instruments and sung at different times right then, and you know, there's a lot of churches that don't have nobody play a piano this morning, don't have nobody play a guitar. A preacher stood up that tried to lead a congregation song. He taught Sunday school this morning. He tried to lead singing. He's going to preach. He's going to give an altar call. There's going to be nobody to play. And we're blessed here at Amazing Grace, man. I'm telling you, there's seven or eight piano players sitting here this morning that cannot just mess around on a piano. Man, they can play a piano, amen. And I sure thank the Lord for it. Colossians chapter number one, let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Hey, I mean this. I want you to come to church tonight, amen. I'm going to begin tonight, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking a lot at missions. And I told you going into the new year, that's one of my main themes, one of my big hearts for this new year, is that God would help us to begin doing more for world missions, and not just world missions, but home missions also. And I want you to be here. Colossians chapter number 1, look with me. I want to begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible said this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Note what the Bible said in verse number 14. In whom, well, who is the in whom? You got to go back to verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath then translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Who is the in whom? It's in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. I want to call your attention into one word in verse number 14, and that is the word redemption. And preach on that simple word for a little while. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. God, thank you so much for being good to us here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, God. I know personally I take for granted what you've given us here sometimes. And God, I don't want to do that. So I ask you to forgive me. And God, I want to say thank you, Lord, for the great singing this morning, God, for the people that work so hard to make everything happen this weekend. Lord, so many different activities went on, and I was able to do what you called me to do, and that was to go out and preach while that was happening. Thank you, God, for workers. Thank you for parents that brought kids. And God, thank you for people just being faithful. God, you really are good to us right here at Amazing Grace, and I just want to say thank you for just a minute. I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us as we preach. I pray, God, that we'd lift you up more than anything else, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. And I want to look at this simple little word. I'm not going to take a great deal of time to deal with the introduction to the book of Colossians and everything that's going on. I'm just going to bring you right to this simple thought this morning for the sake of time on the thought of redemption. He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our sins. Well, if we're going to look at a word, I think we need to know what that word means. So what does redemption mean? Well, if you was to go to your Bible today, or if you was to go to your dictionary today, or if you was to go to an 1828, you can look in that. You can go to the Blue Letter Bible and pull a definition off of there today. A simple definition of redemption is simply this: a releasing effected by payment of ransom. And it also means this: it means deliverance. It means deliverance. A releasing effected by payment of ransom. In other words, we owed a debt that we could not pay, and we needed someone to pay that debt. It is a deliverance today. What is redemption? It's being redeemed today. Can I say this? It is deliverance today. It is being delivered from something today. And I want to show you two or three things about redemption this morning. Number one, I want you to note this with me. The purpose of redemption. Why did He say in the Bible, in whom we have redemption? There must have been a reason for that. What is the purpose of redemption today? The purpose of redemption can be found in one word, and it is the word sin. That's the reason that we need to be redeemed today. I thought about sinful man. According to Romans chapter number 3, the Bible said this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man is a sinful man. You say, preacher, you say that a lot. We don't need to forget that every one of us sitting here today are sinful men. It don't matter how good we try to live, we're still going to miss the mark. We're still going to sin. We're still going to fail God. Why did we need redemption? Because of sinful man. But I thought about this, the separated future of man. You see, in Genesis chapter number 3, God had created man for one purpose, and that was to fellowship with Him. But because of sin, that fellowship had been broken. That communion with God had been broken. And we needed redeeming. We needed to talk to God. We needed to fellowship with God. Why? Because it's real good. Can I just say it that way? The fellowship with the Lord. And the purpose of redemption was this: sinful man had been separated from God, and we needed to be reconciled back to Him. You say, well, preacher, who needed redemption? Everybody that was a sinner needed redemption. And the purpose of redemption, watch this, is sin. It's sin. It's sin today. Not only the purpose of redemption, number two, watch this. I'm going to move quickly. I've got several things I want to say. The picture of redemption. The purpose of redemption is sin today. But the picture of redemption, or the symbol of it, throughout the Bible. You remember what happened in Genesis chapter number 3. I know I've made reference to that several times, but you remember what happened? Here's what happened in Genesis chapter number 3. After sin was committed, God came to them and talked to them and made them coats of skin. Why did He make them coats of skin? Because what they was trying to do to cover themselves and what they was trying to do to bring fellowship back to God again did not work. And hear me and hear me well. Your good works will never work. It will never take you into fellowship with God. It doesn't matter how much you go to church. It don't matter how much you give to church. It don't matter how faithful you are to church. It don't matter how much good you do to your neighbor, your works will never get you there. So what happened? God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. Why did He do that? Because without the what? Shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You say, well, preacher, there's no word that it says in Genesis chapter number 3 that there was blood shed. You ever saw an animal skint that there wasn't blood shed? Are you with me today? I'm telling you, man, there was blood shed, the symbol, the picture of redemption throughout the Word of God, the innocent blood shed in the garden in Genesis 3, the accepted sacrifice of Abel in Genesis chapter number 4, the sacrifice of Noah after the flood in Genesis chapter number 5, the importance of the blood taught to Abraham in Genesis 21, the Passover lamb in Exodus 12, the blood covenant between God in Israel in Exodus 24. The life of the flesh is in the blood in Leviticus 17. The scarlet thread in Rahab's window in Joshua 2. All throughout the Old Testament, here's what it is doing. It's saying that we are sinners and we have missed the mark, and blood must be shed for us to be brought back in fellowship with God. And all throughout the Old Testament, there is a symbol. It is pointing towards a blood sacrifice. You see all throughout the Old Testament, over and over and over each year, they would bring that animal, they would bring that sacrifice, the blood would be shed, atonement would be made, but again the next year it had to be done. What was it? It was redemption. It was the picture of it. It was the symbol of it because of sin. But we're not in the Old Testament today. We're in the New Testament. I don't have time to talk about the different dispensations, but we're not living under law today. Thank God we're living under grace. And everything about the Old Testament is pointing towards one event, and that event is a place called Calvary. So we see this. We see the purpose of redemption. We see the picture of redemption, the purpose of it. Why? Because sin. The picture of redemption, what is it? It's a symbol. But I want you to see the person of redemption today. The person of redemption today. Who was it, oh yes, that could bring redemption to mankind? Over and over and over again, they killed those animals in the Old Testament. But they was all prophesied and saying, there's coming somebody in the New Testament. Can I just say it that way? Somebody's going to be born by the way of a virgin, and they'll call his name Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sin. What did it say in our text? In whom we have redemption through his blood. The person of redemption is the darling Lamb of God. It's the Son of God today. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's only by him today. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by him. Amen. He said, I am the door. It's only in him today. The person of redemption, what did he say in John 3, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, the person of redemption today is Jesus Christ. I've said this before, but watch this. Society don't have a problem with this word, God. They don't have a problem with that word. They don't have a problem with the word Lord. Matter of fact, if you go pray in some places and you say in God's name, amen, or in the Lord's name, amen, they'll say nothing about it. You can go pray in Allah's name and they'll say nothing about it because there ain't nothing to say nothing about. You can go pray in Buddha's name and there's nothing to say nothing about it. He's dead. Muhammad's name, he's dead. You can pray in all these other names, but it's so interesting when you come to the name of Jesus, everybody gets riled up. Say anything but Jesus. Let me tell you the reason why. There's something different about that name.
There's no substitute to that name. There's something different about the name of Jesus. And let me tell you what the difference is. The difference is this. He is alive and he is well. The difference is this. He is a judging Christ. He's not just a Savior. He's a Lord today. They get fired up because of the name of Jesus. Why? Because he is redemption today. How do we have redemption today? It's through him. I thought about this. He's the sent son. He is the submissive son who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You ever thought about that statement? And I've got to move or I'll get bogged down here. But have you ever thought about who for the joy that was set before? What was joyous about the cross, man? He was beaten beyond. Go read Psalms 22. He's beaten beyond recognition. His bowels gushed from within. His bones stared at him. His tongue cleaved his jaw. What was joyous about that? What was joyous about practically, with the exception of very few, everybody forsaking him? What was joyous about that? You say, well, what do you think? Well, this is just Barkerology. Here's the reason I think he said it was a joy, because it's what his daddy wanted him to do. It didn't matter the suffering that he went through. It didn't matter the pain that he went through. It was what God wanted him to do. And why did God want him to do it? Because God wanted fellowship with you. And God loved you enough that his son became submissive to his father's will. He was the submissive son. He was the sinless son. Amen. He that knew no sin. Amen. The suffering son, Colossians said this, nailing it to his cross. I've already made reference to Psalms 22. He was the sacrifice son. This is the reason Jesus came to the earth. 1 Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. What? For you. He was the sacrifice son. He was the sufficient son. Can I just say that again? I don't think you heard me. He was the sufficient son. There don't need to be another sacrifice. There don't need to be any more bloodshed. We don't need another Savior today. He was sufficient in every, oh yes, in every aspect of his life. He was sufficient. Matthew said this, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Romans said this in chapter 5, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That word atonement's very interesting. Here's what it means. It means an adjustment of a difference. It means reconciliation. It means restoration to favor. Restoration. Oh, yes. Restoration to favor. I've pastored now for 18 years. And every once in a while along the way, it's very seldom that this happens, but every once in a while along the way, I have somebody come to me and they say this, hey, preacher, and it goes beyond pastor. Matter of fact, I probably deal with this more in a role as a chaplain for the sheriff's office than I do even as a pastor. Hey, chap, me and somebody else, we just ain't getting along right now. I've tried to talk to them. Will you go sit down with me and talk to them, which is scriptural, by the way. Will you go sit down with me and talk to him? And I'm always nervous about that. I mean, you know, usually you sit down, two people that's got guns, it's mad at each other, and you're sitting there in between them. Are you with me? And I've done it many times, and one will say this, and want to say that and want to say this, and then I say something, and 90, I got about a 99.9% rate to begin with. Things just brought back into fellowship. They stand up, hug each other's neck, go eat a cheeseburger together, and go on down the road. You see, me and God had a difference. God wouldn't talk to me. Why? Because of the sin that was in my life. God wouldn't look upon me because of the sin that was in my life. But God wanted to. Amen. God wanted to fellowship with me. God wanted to walk with me. And you know what he needed? He needed somebody to reconcile things. He needed a mediator. So you know what he done? He took his son out of the portals of glory and sent him to earth. And he lived 33 and a half years. Had never sinned the first time. And he went to Calvary. And he took my sin to Calvary. And he paid my sin debt on Calvary. And now because of that, there is an atonement made. There is an adjustment of difference. There's a reconciliation. There's a restoration of a favor. Now I can talk to God, and God can talk to me. I can walk with him, and he can walk with me. It's not because of what I've done, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sufficient today. I don't need nothing else. I don't need nothing else. He's everything I need. The purpose of redemption was sin. The picture of redemption, it's symbolism. The person of redemption, it was the Savior. But now note this, and I'm watching the time, note this. The people of redemption. Who needs redemption? We're going to say this to you. That's the sinners. That's the sinners. Who needs redemption? The sinners. Listen to what he said. Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why did he put that in there? Here's the reason he put that in there, because you need redemption. If you're sitting here today and you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, you need to be redeemed. Amen. You need to be redeemed. The people of redemption is sinners. The person of redemption is the Savior. Picture of redemption is symbolism. The purpose of redemption is because of sin. Number five, I'm done. Note with me the power of redemption. The power of, what is the power of redemption? It's simply this: salvation. It's salvation. That is the power of redemption. Yesterday, I was talking to Brother Rick Gravely on the phone. And we talked a while about some different things. And I said this. I said, you know, when this individual got saved, boy, you see a difference in her life. You see a difference in her life. Man, things changed. Can I tell you something about salvation? It'll change you. It'll change you. You say, preacher, Brother Jonathan, I'm going to clean my life up. I'm going to get some things in order, and when I do, I'm going to get saved. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. You'll never get saved. I'll tell you the reason why. You can't clean your life up. You can't. You say, I'm going to go to a program. I'm not against programs, but I'm going to tell you something. They'll not do for you what the power of redemption will do. There's never been a program. The greatest program that you'll ever have is realizing that you're lost and on the road to hell, and that the good God of glory loved you enough to send his son to die for your sins, and accepting him as your Lord. That's the greatest. And again, I'm not knocking other things, but I'm telling you, that's the greatest program. Can I just say this? If you'll start with that program, you can cut a lot of other things out. You can save a lot of money that you're going to waste on. Somebody give me a witness right there. I'll tell you what it is. It's the power of redemption. Christ saw me. Christ came to me. Christ done what I could not do for myself. Christ loosed me. Christ set me free. You remember the story in John chapter number 11. I love it. Matter of fact, You've heard me say this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 11:35. And you remember the story. And Lazarus dies, and he's in the grave, and Jesus goes over there and says, "Lazarus, come forth." The reason he said Lazarus, if he'd have just said come forth, everybody in the world that was dead had got up. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." It's very personal. God is a very personal God, by the way. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" He confronted him personally. You ever been to Sunday school this morning? Man, that's great. Confronted him personally. Now, I'll say this to you. God is a personal God. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, come out of that tomb somehow. I don't know if he scooted. I don't know if he hovered over the ground. I don't know. But I know this. He was all wound up when he come out. He still had grave clothes on when he come out. And it wasn't like us today. He's wrapped up like a mummy, probably. I don't know. But he came out, Zeb. And here's what the Bible said. Loose him and let him go. You see, salvation will loose you. The things that have you bound from a present life, salvation will let them go. Salvation is not bondage. Salvation is freedom. Chapter 11 closes. You see, is that a picture of salvation? I think it's a great picture of salvation. And here's the reason why. Chapter 12. See, chapter 12 follows chapter 11. Are you with me? Here's what happened in chapter number 12. They go back to Mary and Martha's house. You with me? They're going to get something to eat. You know where you find Lazarus at? Sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the table. He's not running around in the world. He's not out partying it up. He's not somewhere else. You know where he's at? He's right where Jesus is at. Why? Because Jesus was the one that had set him free. And he said, "Man, I remember what I used to be. I remember the deadness that I was in. I remember the stench that was over me. Oh, but Jesus came right to where I was at and called me by name and set me free. So what I'll do is find myself at his table." Oh, yes. I thought about this. Come start playing. Romans chapter number 5 said this. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God," thank God, "commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by" what? "By his life." By his life. The condemnation, the mess, it can all be taken away. The power of redemption is salvation. I wrote this down. The sinful people of redemption is mankind. The separated place of redemption is the earth. The specific plan of redemption, it was the blood. The supreme person of redemption was Jesus. The shameful price of redemption was Calvary. But the saving power of redemption was salvation. It was salvation. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you been redeemed? Why do we need redemption? Because of sin. He gave us a symbol. He gave us an illustration of redemption in the Old Testament. He gave us a Savior because we were sinners and needed salvation. Now it's up to us to respond to it. Are you saved today? If Jesus comes back before we meet this afternoon, are you going to heaven? Is what you got good enough to die with? I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm asking you a question. If you knew when you walked out those doors at the end of this service, life was over. That's it. Life's over. If you knew that 100% for sure, would you change anything before you walked out? If so, I'll tell you what you ought to do today. You'll find your place in an altar. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how the Savior of all the world came, and He loves you, and He'll save you if you'll only let Him. If you'll only ask you this, and we're going to stand. How do you know it won't be the last time you walk out those doors? How do you know it won't?